Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of Lord, the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning to you all on this fifth Sunday in Lent. This morning's scriptures, as is quite often the case for me, carry multiple layers of meaning. And not just with having fun with a literal reading of Jeremiah's text stating God will write the law within our people's hearts. Late this past week, I was listening to a commentary on today's text. One of the comments that was shared was new to me, that the Jeremiah text was not only speaking to the future for the Hebrew people, but also the future for us today. We're not yet at a point where we have no need of teachers or preachers to help us learn and know God to the extent it's possible for us to do so. But I do confess I find hope in the actions of many of the younger members of the younger generation, and I wonder at times how often my efforts to help instead end up hindering their growth. How much do my biases and understandings of what following God means taints my thoughts, causing me to unduly judge others? The Jewish people at the time of Jeremiah's writing blamed the sins of their ancestors for their exile in Babylon. The promise that God sent through Jeremiah was that a new, even more intimate relationship between God and humanity would come. The psalmist, believed to be King David, confesses, Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. While similar to me, these are two different reactions, and I believe the second to be a bit better. King David is not only showing penitence for sin, but acknowledging that he and humanity are born into a culture and society of sin. A brief side note for me as I was typing yesterday, I couldn't help Billy Joel's song, "We Didn't Start the Fire," came to mind. If you're not aware, it's a song Billy Joel released that lists people, events, and issues that occurred from 1949, when Joel was born, until the song was released in 1989. I hear a similar theme as the psalmist, an acknowledgement that our world is not right and humanity is primarily to blame, but that we can strive to improve the world. Relatively recently, I was listening to an audiobook by Richard Rohr, a man who's a Franciscan monk, mystic, and philosopher. From what I understood, he postulated that one purpose for the concept of original sin is not to place blame on our ancestors, but rather to realize that all of humanity is under the burden of sin, and this burden is too great for any one person to bear, that it must be borne by all of humanity in order to avoid any individual being crushed by the sheer immensity of it. In my mind, all of these cases point out that we have hope in the future through the promise of Jesus Christ, while acknowledging our current lost condition. For two of my midsummer college summers, I worked as an assistant cook at a non-denominational Christian church near High Hill, Missouri. I remember working in the kitchen one afternoon with the head cook and the camp director, who was my pastor from the local congregation. Some of the week's adult volunteers and youth participants were listening to what, at that time, was contemporary or pop Christian music. I remember my preacher stating clearly, "That's not Christian music. It sounds just like everything else on the radio." I remember disagreeing with the statement, hearing it as a judgment against something that was different, with the sole reason for judgment being that difference. At the time, I did not have a strong enough feeling or commitment to speak up and engage in dialogue on the topic. One young person I know has a button or pen divided into upper and lower halves. The upper half has the word thoughts and prayers, with a line through them striking them out. The lower half has the words policy and action. This person, while raised in a family that regularly attended church, does not currently do so. I've understood this person to disregard today's church as too judgmental and not being accepting and supporting of the often marginalized minorities of our society. And just this past Tuesday, a white Christian man killed 8 people in Georgia, 6 of them of Asian descent. The shooter blamed his targets for his weaknesses. He did not see these women as people, but saw them and their employer as a, quote, temptation that he wanted to eliminate, unquote. He chose to blame and punish others for his sin and chose to act out in violence against those he judged to be impure. And as a reminder, this is not an us versus them condition. Just shy of 6 years ago, a young ELCA member joined a prayer group at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and killed 9 of the worshipers in their community. The shooter was wanting to silence those people who did not fit his ideals. Our natural tendency is to condemn those who are different from us due to their differences, even if it's just a misunderstanding in words. It's much harder for us to realize and celebrate what we have in common. Even our various expressions of faith are called denominations, stressing the division. Could we possibly try to think of other expressions of Christianity as numerations? What would be the impact on our world if, when we spoke of another Christian tradition, we spoke of multiplying Christianity instead of dividing it? One tongue-in-cheek story I heard emphasizing this quite a few years ago was about a man who was standing in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco on vacation, admiring the view, when a second tourist walked up alongside him to do the same. This is allegedly their exchange. I heard the man next to me say quietly, as he looked to the beauty of the view, "What an awesome God." I turned to him and said, "Oh, are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "So am I." And we shook hands. I said, Are you a liberal or a fundamental Christian? He said, I'm a fundamental Christian. I said, so am I. And we nodded to each other. I said, are you a covenant or dispensational fundamental Christian? He said, I'm a dispensational fundamental Christian. I said, so am I. And we slapped each other on the back. I said, are you an early Acts, mid-Acts, or late Acts dispensational fundamental Christian? He said, I'm a mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian. I said, so am I. And we agreed to exchange Christmas cards each year. I said, are you an Acts 9 or Acts 13 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian? He said, I'm an Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian. I said, so am I. And we hugged right there on the bridge. I said, are you a pre-trib or post-trib Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian? He replied, I'm a pre-trib Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian. I said, so am I. We agreed to exchange our kids for the summer. I said, are you a 12-in or 12-out pre-trib Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian? He replied, I'm a 12-in pre-trib Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian. At which point I declared, you heretic, and pushed him off the bridge. In light of that joke, though, I want to point out this is not just a group challenge, a denomination challenge. Personally, I regularly struggle to remember particular coworkers of mine, our beloved children of God. I often don't agree with their actions or statements, and it's so tempting for me to write them off as unworthy of my time and unworthy of my attention instead of caring for them. The Judeans in Babylon and Psalmist David lament the brokenness of their worlds. They also sought restoration through God. Jeremiah shared his promise that God would write the law in the people's hearts. Perhaps I need to take some time in humility and ponder the possibility that God has shared a specific piece of law and wisdom with someone else other than me. I found myself remembering the story in chapter 9 of both Mark and Luke of disciples seeing someone driving out demons in Jesus' name. The disciples told the man to stop because he was not a part of their group. Jesus corrected them to not stop the man and let them know that whoever is not against us is for us. Opposite wisdom that the world often uses. We don't know what God writes in the hearts of others. At best, we can feel and hear what God shares with us as individuals and try to communicate some of that with the world around us. Thinking that I fully understand the motivations and values of another individual is both incredibly arrogant and very dangerous. Jesus even states in John 3, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In today's gospel, Jesus models for us the actions of someone with God's law in his heart. Knowing full well what the next week holds in store, Jesus declared that he should not call for salvation from God, but acknowledge that the upcoming suffering must happen for the glory of God. Jesus continues saying that when he's lifted up from the earth, he will draw all people to himself, just as Jeremiah proclaimed God writing the law in the hearts of all people. I sometimes ponder and pray for myself, those of my faith, my nation, my planet, that we may be filled with God's love and compassion. And sometimes I realize, as one young person has taught me, that I must also vote and act in alignment with what is written in my heart, even in the face of personal cost. As our time of Lent this year draws closer to an end, let's be honest. We know death and pain way too well, especially after the past year. And I'll say we didn't start the fire and acknowledge we can't avoid the darkness, but we need to remember Christ's example and trust God to bring about new life after the seed dies. Let us hold fast to the promise of resurrection and ascension with our loving God and our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.